In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I wish I could talk about all four readings today. That would be too long. But they're beautiful readings. And the reason we read the second set is because of Grand Duchess Elizabeth and Nun Barbara and some others with them. We commemorate them on the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. And there's a tie-in to what those readings are and to the first set of readings, the first epistle and the first gospel. And it's experience. Experience. There's no substitute for experience. We even see this in the world, right? People get a job notice and it says 5 years experience required. Why is that? Because with experience comes knowledge and comes steadfastness. You know what to do and when to do it and how to do it. There's no substitute for experience in the Christian life. And we see evidence of this in the gospel today because of the centurion. Now, the centurion was ostensibly a pagan. He was working for a pagan government. He was an official of the pagan government, but he was a believer in the Jewish way of life. And still, he was a pagan officially. And so he knew that he was not worthy for the Lord to come to his house to cure his servant. So he says, I'm not worthy for you to come under the roof of my house. That's why he says it, by the way. That wasn't just sort of, you know, obsequious humility. It was because he was officially a pagan, and a Jew wouldn't go into a pagan's house. But he had the humility to say such a thing. But he knew that the Lord could just speak the word, and his servant would be healed. And why did he know that? Experience. Because he lived in this way. He was a commander. So he had men under him. He told those men to do this or that, and they did it. He told his servant, or actually his slave, to do something, and he does it. He knows that. But he also knows that when his commander tells him to do something, he does it. He knows from experience. Now, we can have experience and it'd be bad experience. If we don't really live with effort in life, then all of our experience is really null and void. I'm talking about experience when you actually do righteousness, when you struggle for righteousness, when you live according to a code, then you develop this reservoir of wisdom to be able to know things. And this is important, to have this reservoir of wisdom, because I keep telling you, things are going to get tough. And if you don't have the experience of following God, then you're going to have a tough time. Even if really things don't fall apart in our society, and history says that they probably will. Every century is full of bloodshed and full of unrest. We're 21 years in, there's not very much yet. So the smart money is that it's really going to get very, very difficult, very challenging. But even if it doesn't get challenging politically and economically and medically and all the rest, it's always challenging morally. Because we have a world that just doesn't recognize a reason to do good. Or they call things that are bad good. And how do you know that those things that they say are good are really bad and that are bad are really good? How do you know this? You know it by experience. You know it by living the Christian life. You know it by struggle. So it's good you've come to church today. It's even better if you went to church yesterday and today. And it's very important, though, that besides coming to church, coming to confession, communion, that you're struggling in your daily prayers and you're struggling to live according to your purpose every day. And as you fall and get up and do good things and do some bad things and repent for the bad things, there's this experience that builds up in you and you really understand what life is about. Most people don't know what life is about. The vast majority of people have no idea, including people that walk through doors of a church. They don't know what life is about. Life to them is much more the here and now, the things they can see and touch and taste, and also the notoriety they have, or if they're well off, or if their retirement is planned, etc., etc. Most people are like that, including people that call themselves Orthodox Christians. But this is not life. That way of thinking is the way of death, not the way of life. And if you live according to the way of life, your experience tells you that all that's death. Otherwise, people don't believe you. And you didn't believe it yourself. When you were living the way of death, did you think it was the way of death? I don't think you did. I think you probably thought, I'm not so happy with this or that, or I have troubles and I don't know why, or I'm angry because of this and jealous because of that. You didn't really understand that the real cause is that you were living the way of death, not the way of life. And if you live the way of life, you feel this freedom in your heart. I've told you before sort of a definition for salvation. And those who know me know that I kind of come up with multiple definitions of salvation. They're all basically the same, but they're just said in a different way. The scripture is constantly giving indications of salvation, and you put them all together, and that's what salvation is. And salvation is to be free indeed, because that's what the Lord said. He said, in that day, ye shall be free indeed. Freedom, perfect freedom. But we have to understand what freedom is. Freedom is not to do what we wish. Because if you do what you want when you're unformed, then you fall into slavery. Because you fall into that slavery of sin. He who sins is a slave to sin. So that's not freedom. To sin is not freedom, because you become addicted to sin and you become unable to extricate yourself without divine help. Freedom is to always be able to choose good, to always be able to do it. Now, you can choose to do it or not do it. Just Jesus Christ could have chosen to do good or not do good. He wasn't constrained to only do good. But he was so free in his human soul that he never ever desired to choose bad. So he never did. Now, you and I, sometimes we desire to choose bad, and sometimes we're stronger than that desire. Sometimes we do good anyway. Glory be to God for that. But sometimes we desire to do good and we can't because of our weakness. We're not free yet. We're not totally free. If you're free, you can always choose to do good. And if you continue to choose to do good, you remain free. That's what free will is. Free will is not just to be able to choose anything you want. Free will is to be completely free in the soul to always be able to choose good. Not by constrainment. Not at all. Now, if you show a person something that's good, useful, they say, hey, this is worth it to me. You know, if you're a salesman and you prove to them that this article is the best for the price, they believe you, they buy it, and they use it. It's the same thing in Christianity. If you find by the way of your living, by living according to the gospel, that things are better, then you want to hold on to those things. And indeed, they are better. They're always better. Not materially, not maybe in your job, not maybe in the friends you have or the friends you lose, not maybe in many other things, especially as our world becomes more and more hateful to Christianity and tolerant and even promoting any other religion that is not Christianity. Of course, all those religions basically are the religion of self, the religion of doing what you want. So if you live according to the Christian way, your heart tells you this, that it's the right way. And then you have this confidence in your soul. You have this sure and certain hope in your soul. And nobody can take that away from you. That's why the martyrs became martyrs, because they were so sure of what was right that it didn't matter if they would be tortured or put in prison or that their lands be taken away, or that they'd be ostracized. None of those things mattered to them, because by experience they knew the truth. And this is what you need to aim for. This is critically important in our day. It's been critically important in every day. But now we have so much information that comes at us, unlike any other time in human history. There's so much information that comes at us. And from the world, it's all, shall we say, to use a political term, misinformation or disinformation or fake news. It's all, the vast majority of it is worldly and is dead. And how do you keep from believing it if it's constantly bombarding you? Well, for one thing, make sure that if it bombards you, it's because of things that are beyond your control. If it's bombarding you because you're looking at it and have your thumbs on a screen, that's your fault. Okay? That's your fault that you're being bombarded by it. If you're looking at the boob tube and it's bombarding you, that's your fault. But if it bombards you because of what people say in the office and because of the what is said in general and the way people live, well, then you can't control that. But the way you are immune to that is by living according to the truth. And that's what the epistle says today, basically this, that if you know the truth, you're completely free. And you're free regarding choosing good or evil, but you're not free anymore to sin, to choose evil, really. You can choose evil in a hypothetical, theoretical way, but because you know what's good and you live according to what's good, you're not going to choose evil. All of us have certain things in our life. Maybe we did foolishly when we were younger, and we'll never do those things again because we just know it's just not the right thing to do. We're not attracted to it. We were attracted to it once, and now we say, I'm not going to do that anymore. And we're free regarding that thing. So this is basically, the Apostle Paul says this. He says it in a complicated way because St. Paul never said anything that wasn't complicated. It was always very complicated. So he said, being then made free from sin, ye became slaves of righteousness. Now, actually, we're free. And if we're free, we can choose good or evil. But if we become where in our heart we are not free to choose evil, then we don't choose evil. That's a little complicated. But if you live that I am a slave to righteousness, I have no other rights, I'm going to be a slave to righteousness, then you're perfectly free. I think we see this in parenthood. We see this like you have a baby, and the baby is beautiful, but, you know, wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning and cries. And you know what? You're not free at all to choose to stay in bed. You cannot do that. Not because there's an external rule, but because your heart won't let you do it. Right? You have to do it. You just have to do it. You have to take care of your child. And you have to sacrifice for your child, and you have to sacrifice for your friends, because your heart tells you you must do it. You're not free to not do it. Not because someone constrains you, but because your heart constrains you. That is actual freedom. When your heart constrains you to do good, makes you a slave of righteousness, that's actual freedom. Freedom to do good. Because when you do good, when you have a good disposition, Father Nicholas talked about that yesterday. When you have a good disposition, then life is beautiful. No matter how it is externally, it's beautiful. So you have to have this idea in your heart. It's not really an idea. It's just a fact. It's just as much as you know that when you throw a ball up in the air, it lands on the ground. You know that you're free from sin because of the grace of God, and therefore you're not free. You're not free to sin. You're free from sin. You can make the choice, and therefore now you're a slave to righteousness. Have that mindset. If you have that mindset, it'll save you from a lot of things. A lot of things. But you have to understand this whole idea of freedom is completely different than the world. It's a freedom that is also a slavery. A slavery that is freedom. To be a slave to righteousness is to be free. Because anytime we do sin, we become embroiled in it. And it becomes worse for us. But when we do righteousness, we become better, voluntarily better. We're not forced. We do things of our own free will. But then we also think of ourselves or as being compelled to do it because our heart compels us. I would tell you that if your heart compels you to do something, you're free. Because that's the perfect way to live. When the heart tells you, you must act. And you obey your heart as a taskmaster. Then you're perfectly free. Most people don't obey their heart. Most people hardly even understand what their heart says, and they just go on in life, and they're not free. And they come upon problem after problem, and they're unhappy, and they don't understand that their unhappiness is because they're not listening to their heart. Now, the big question is, how do you listen to your heart? It's a tough question. The way you do that is experience. The experience of struggling, of saying your prayers, of doing prostrations, of coming to the church, of loving your enemies, of repenting of your sins and all that accumulates, and you develop the strength internally, like the martyrs had, that they were not afraid and they were not going to give in to sacrificing to idols or sacrificing to the communist idol or to the pagan idols of Rome. That's true freedom, and that's what you need to struggle for. It's a beautiful story to have that kind of freedom. And the centurion had that kind of freedom because he knew how to follow a command, and he knew how to give a command. And he did not allow himself to disobey commands, because as a soldier, internally, he, in his heart, believed that he should follow his commander. So he obeyed his commander. He didn't give himself freedom to not obey his commander. But because of that, he had such freedom to be able to say to the Lord that I know that all you need to do is say the word and my servant's going to be healed. There's another story of the little girl that's cured, right? Jairus' daughter. He didn't have that kind of freedom, did he? He had to see the Lord be there to heal his child. He didn't have enough faith for him to heal just by a word. He had to heal in the presence of his daughter, because Jairus didn't have this kind of moral freedom. Moral freedom is the greatest freedom. Nobody can take away your moral freedom. They can take away your physical freedom. They can put you in jail. You can lose your money. You can have, you know, losses in your life. But nobody can take away moral freedom. That's in your heart, and nobody can take it away. So I want you to try to think in these terms. But when I say think, I don't mean like literally use your brain and consider it. I mean live according to this idea that you are free regarding sin, therefore you're a slave of righteousness. That'll keep you out of a lot of trouble, because the apostle says, when you were slaves of sin, you were free from righteousness. Kind of the opposite. You were enslaved to sin, and you were free to choose righteousness, but you weren't really free because you were enslaved. This sounds contradictory when you say it in language, but spiritually it makes sense. If you live it, you'll understand it. So, what fruit had ye in those things which you are now ashamed of? For the end of these things is death. That's the experience that's necessary, to know that the things that you do that appeared to be free are actually not free, and they lead to death. But now, becoming free from sin, you become slaves to God, and you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. This is how you have to live in order to be a real Christian, in order to really be according to the end of the last epistle, that, you know, nothing can stop us, that we are more than conquerors, that there is nothing that can overcome us. Nothing. I am convinced that neither height nor depth, nothing can keep us from the love of Christ Jesus. And by the way, he said nothing, but there is one thing, and that's ourselves. What keeps us from the love of Christ Jesus is if we are enslaved to sin. But once we are, even a little bit, if we become a little bit free regarding sin, and a little bit of a slave regarding righteousness, you can feel a shift in you. And you just feel better, I'm telling you. Those who have lived the Christian life know exactly what I'm talking about. You feel that you're not free to sin, but you're very free to not sin. And you feel there's something in you that's just better. Just feels better. Feels right. Feels solid. It's steady. And as you progress in the Christian life, it gets more solid and more steady, so that nothing can put you off balance. Now, we're not at that state yet. Most of us are not even close to that state. But we are moving to that state, to the point where the Lord will be able to say to us, you are free indeed on that day. That's what we're aiming for. May God bless you. May God help us to have true freedom and true slavery to righteousness. God bless you.